And of course, God answers prayer. Of course, you know, every once in a while there's a healing that happens in church. But in regard to something like the book of Acts, I read that more as a fairy tale rather than a spiritual reality that God wanted me to enter into. I mean, when you look at this, just imagine for a second that if this was happening in our city here, that somebody possessed so much power that they were literally emptying out the places where they would keep sick people to put them on the street. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of strange. And as I read that passage, it arrested me because I'm trying to figure out, what did Peter do? Because I'm pretty practical, all right? I just want to know, what did Peter do to get that? Sorry, a little too honest. Because I've been in church and I haven't seen that. So I start flipping through the scriptures, and everything I find in Peter's life that I'm thinking is going to qualify him, in my mind, it disqualifies him. He doesn't trust in the storm. Jesus rebukes him. He rebukes Jesus. He's actually only publicly affirmed one time in scripture. Did you know that Peter's actually only affirmed one time? Matthew chapter 16, Jesus says, "Who do men say that I am?" And Peter responds and says what? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus looks back and goes, "Great job, Peter, but the Father gave you the answer." It's like you cheated. That didn't come to you through flesh and blood. It didn't come to you just through some mental awareness or intellect. You got this by a revelation, because when you tell God who he is, he tells us who we are. So he just got one thing right: who is God? But you would think from that, and just a few moments later, he's rebuked by Jesus because he looks and says, "Jesus, you don't have to be crucified." And Jesus looks at him and says, "Get behind me, Satan." How many people know that's a bad day when God says that to you? Okay, it's one thing if your wife, I'm kidding. It's a total joke. Just relax. That's not why I'm preaching here today and she's not with me. We do have a newborn baby. It's one thing if your spouse says that. It's another thing when Christ, God incarnate in the flesh, looks at you and says, "Get behind me, Satan." I'm talking about a bad day. And it doesn't get better. Peter falls asleep during prayer. He denies that he even knows Jesus, calling down curses on himself. He actually chops off a man's ear. I don't know if you remember that. Like, no one swings for ears, need I remind you. He's trying to kill a man, and ultimately, we see later on in the book of Galatians that he lies to the Apostle Paul. He lies to the Apostle Paul over dietary restrictions in a new covenant believer's life, the book of Galatians tells us. I don't know about you, but none of those to me equals a really good formula for God moving through our lives. I've seen, and often rightfully so, members in churches put on church discipline for far less than what Peter did. Now, if I'm Jesus, when I see these things, I would kind of put him on probation. I'd be like, okay, no more, you know, like, you have to give me at least 6 months of no cutting off people's ears. At least 6 months, right? Give me 6 months of no ear cutting, and then we're going to reinstate you into being empowered by the Holy Spirit. But he doesn't wait 6 months. Goodness, he doesn't even wait 40 days. Jesus is ascending, and just right after that time, after 40 days at the day of Pentecost, Peter stands up and 3,000 are saved at the declaration of his word. And I don't know about you, but I'm confused, because when I look at his shadow, all I know is that I've run into people, and every once in a while I'm thinking maybe my shadow's going to do something. Everyone's just kind of saying, "Get out of the way." But when I look at Peter, nothing in my mind equates to the fact that his shadow is going to heal somebody. Do you see what I'm saying? And when I read that, the Holy Spirit just said this to me: "Jared, the story is not about Peter's power." Peter was transparent enough to let my shadow go through him without him getting in the way. I want to say this: God has something overshadowing you. And our job is not to perfect ourselves, it's to realize that we are made perfect in the finished work of Christ. That this morning, whether we want to believe this or not, the biggest obstacle for us moving in the power of the Holy Spirit is not God transforming who we are, it's realizing who we already are in him. So now, I'm going to take away a couple of excuses, so just plug your ears if you're interested in having a couple excuses here. But some of us, we think that our biggest battle in this world is against Satan. And I'm sorry, that's just not true. Satan is defeated at the cross. Satan is bound. And spiritual warfare has more to do with what goes on in here than up there. I'm sorry you didn't like that. So I'm gonna convince you with a very deep theological thing. Are you ready for this? How many people have seen The Wizard of Oz? Get ready. What happens when they get to Emerald City? They're finally going to see the great, terrible, dreadful Oz. And they're ready to address him, and at that moment, the little dog comes and pulls back the curtain. And what happens in that moment when they pull back the curtain? There's the great, terrible Oz moving the levers back and forth, right? And what does he say? Ignore the man behind the curtain. Now, the book of Isaiah tells us that at the end of time, when the things are laid bare, we're going to look at Satan, and the kings of the earth are going to say, is this the man who deceived the nations? Is this the thing? Is this it? This was the great spiritual dreadful force. I'm here to tell you, your biggest obstacle is not Satan. It may be self-discipline that you got to work, set the alarm and get up on time. It's not Satan. He is defeated. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. You have been given victory. You are seated with him in heavenly places. It is not you versus Satan. We think in terms of so dualistically, though, as people. Sometimes it's like, you know, black, white, light, dark, salt, pepper, sweet, sour, God. You can't do that. You're not allowed. God says, I am the Lord, and there is no other. It is not a battle between good and bad. It is something, the battle is settled in the heavens, the book of Psalms says. His word is settled in heavens. On the earth, there's only a conflict because we have yet to realize and walk in the victory that Christ has already accomplished. The Apostle Peter, in my life, I looked at him as if he was some kind of superhuman, as if he had this special grace for a special time. And then I realized that the writers of the scripture deny that sort of theology as saying that they did these things because they were super special people. Peter didn't do this because of his own power, but the power of Christ in him. How can this be? Because of God's grace. Don't get nervous here. You start talking about grace. Everyone says, is that license to do whatever you want? I've got news for you. You already do whatever you want. You don't need a license. You need a change of heart. And the only thing that can do that is the grace of God. God loves humanity so much that he'll use imperfect people to preach a perfect message. God does not wait for us to be perfect before he uses us. It's God's grace that perfects us into his image. I want to say this, we are living just often way, 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 way too down in this under-realized walk with God. 2 Corinthians, Paul says, do you not realize that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? Now, when my wife asks me a question, there's kind of two ways she can ask the same question. I'm trying to figure out grammatically how this works. I'm a little confused. Maybe you can help me. When my wife is walking to the kitchen and she asks, Jared, did you do the dishes? That's a legal question. When she's walking from the kitchen and she says, Jared, did you do the dishes? How many people know they're both framed the same way, but they're very different? Now, when Paul is asking, do you not realize, he's not talking in terms of ignorance as if he's walking to the kitchen of going, don't you realize? He's walking from it, from a personal experience of who he is in God, and saying, do you realize the capacity of what is inside of you, that there's so much more than you've ever tapped into, more than you've ever walked in? Now, when I grew up, I was born in a really small town in Pennsylvania, and my address was 33 Ashfield Drive. The town was about 3,000 people, one traffic light, five pizza shops, and I think three gas stations. Very, very small. Closest Walmart was 25 minutes away, and how many people know Walmart's not that exciting anyway? So that was my town. Then I moved to 357 North Lincoln Ave, Scranton, Pennsylvania. We started a church there, city of about 70,000 people. And you know as well as I do that when you move geographically, you don't just change a physical surrounding. Something changes on the inside. You change just as your address changes. Then I moved one last time to where we live in Buffalo, 3170 Southwestern Boulevard, Orchard Park. And again, I changed. And there's this phrase that we use sometimes to describe people, certain types of people. Maybe you've heard this phrase called small town thinking. Have you ever heard that phrase? You're small-minded, small town thinking. What does that mean? It means you're pulling the world into your present address rather than realizing there's more out there than you've presently experienced. And this is what we do with the scripture. This Bible is full of spiritual addresses, and not just places that are imaginative, they're real. The book of Isaiah says that he who keeps his mind on the Lord is at perfect peace. Now, that's not a fairy tale and it's not a fortune cookie. It's not like something that a few people get. That is a real place that God desires for you and I to live in, perfect peace. Now, I don't know about you, but that's kind of crazy. Perfect peace. The presence of God, in the presence of God, Psalm 16 says, is fullness of joy. Now, that's not just something we put on a refrigerator and ignore. That's a spiritual address that some people have actually made their life residence. Like, I live in a place of fullness of joy. Now, small town thinking, small-minded thinking, small God thinking looks at a passage like that and tries to interpret what it is in accordance with where my life presently is. So he doesn't really mean fullness of joy. He means get happy on Sunday mornings during the fast songs and get serious during the slow songs. Right? He doesn't really mean fullness of joy. I mean, don't get overly excited. He doesn't mean full. Now, Jared, you just got to relax because apparently you haven't been a Christian long enough because don't you know the fruit of the Spirit is depression and just a sad face? Right? As if spiritual maturity, I don't get this, as if spiritual maturity looks like the more defeated I am, the more mature I am. I don't get that. I'm sorry. The fullness of joy is not just some fairy tale. It is an invitation into what God is saying. This is for you. And you and I have a choice that we either just plant ourselves and go, this is all I've experienced. This is my present current reality of spiritual Christian life. And that when I hear about these things, then I just kind of go, well, that's just for somebody else that's special or somebody that's anointed or that's just for pastors or that's just... Or, that's not what it really means. I'm here to say this. Ephesians chapter 3 says, to him who's able to do immeasurably more than what? You can ask, think, or imagine. That's great. Because we all like that. Because it's like, oh, God can do it. But then the Apostle Paul adds this little thing at the end. What? According to the power that's at work where? Within us. That God can do more, that there is another spiritual address out there. There's something bigger than you and I have currently experienced. And when I touch something, there's even more than what I've touched. And this isn't talking about some place of dissatisfied frustration. This is a joyful pursuit of all that God has for me. A joyful pursuit. Now, I have to say, my life was interrupted a handful of times by this thing, and not in ways I expected. See, I wanted to be a college basketball coach. I love sports. Pray for our Buffalo Bills. Pray for the Buffalo Bills. It's bad. I got to get off that note. I go right into, it's not good. Fullness of joy, fullness of joy, fullness of joy. I wanted to be a college basketball coach, and the Holy Spirit just interrupted my life. And I started hearing him speak to me in ways that I wasn't really expecting it. You know, it wasn't like I was in church. I was just walking through a grocery store, and the Holy Spirit's like, go talk to that person. They've got a problem with their right knee. That's a weird thing to hear in a grocery store. It's strange. Sir, do you have a problem with your right knee? How did you know that? I'm a Christian. Can I pray for you? Healed in a grocery store. Driving through Starbucks. Tell her everything with Michael's going to be okay. Okay? Man, I don't know if this means anything to you, but I just want to tell you that everything with Michael's going to be okay. Right there stops. I come to find out I had no clue who she was. She moves to Charlotte for a guy named Michael. She breaks up with this guy named Michael. She can't figure it out. I tell her that God is in control of the situation. She finds, this is so crazy, I didn't even know, finds a friend that works at the same Starbucks that I didn't know worked at the same Starbucks, who's been witnessing to her for months. and said, when this guy, whoever this random redhead kid showed up at the Starbucks, that's okay if you're, that's what you're thinking today as well. It's this random redhead kid. It's all right, you're not the first to think that. And now she says, talk to me about Jesus. How did he know this? And I'm sitting in a room talking with somebody, and the presence of God drops in a moment, and a lady who's not a Christian, and I don't even mention Jesus yet, and her shoulder gets healed out of nowhere, and she starts to cry and ask me what just happened. And I'm trying to figure out what just happened. Because I didn't even say, can I pray for you, or hi, my name is Jared, what's going on? I just talked to her, and she just, the presence of God hits her, and she starts weeping, literally weeping. And she goes, when you just said hello, my shoulder just, what happened? And I'm like, I don't know. When you pray for somebody that's got a cyst on their hand, and it's really probably the grossest miracle I've ever seen, but and it just opens up and just starts to drain, and I'm freaked out as can be, and the person is rejoicing as it drains down. When you pray for a person's ears, and their ears pop open, and you don't know it, but they run out of the church because it's too loud for them now. These are weird things. And we get so accustomed to our life of just, this is the way I go about things. It's just my ordinary business. And when I read the New Testament, I think, well, that was just for special people. Let me tell you, in case you're wondering, I'm not special. I'm really not. Some of you are actually like, thank God he said that. I've been waiting for him to say that. No, I've got no ego in this thing. See, I live with myself 24/7, not just on stage when people are looking at me. So, like, I get the fact that I'm weird and dysfunctional and don't have it all together, but I understand something like Peter. I know who he is, and he's told me who I am. He is the Christ, the Son of God. And I know who I am because of that. See, there's more for us, and we think that maybe it's just this sporadical interruption of God's presence. But I'm here to tell you, that is an Old Testament way of interacting with the Holy Spirit. It's not a New Testament way. See, in the book of Judges, within four verses, the Holy Spirit comes on Samson twice. Which means what? If you come on somebody twice, you got to leave once. And this is how, unfortunately, we operate as Christians today. We feel the presence of God come on us, which is beautiful, it's wonderful, but I'm here to tell you there's more than just waiting for him to come on you. It's learning to live from the inside out. It's learning to live that if I don't feel anything, I don't have to wait. I didn't get here this morning, I'm like, oh, I don't feel the presence of the Lord. Whether I feel him or don't feel him, I know he lives in me. We sang, there's a river. And where is that? Inside, spring up a well. There's this Old Testament, sporadic, occasional interruption of God kind of coming in. And I know we've all felt that, and it's great when it happens. Unfortunately, it kind of feels like death when it's happening. I don't know if you've ever been walking through the grocery. That's how I walk through the grocery store, in case you're wondering. Which is because I don't go there very often. But when I do, that's my trot. And then right then, the Holy Spirit speaks to you. And what does it feel like? You start sweating profusely as you're holding a cucumber because you know you're supposed to do something for the person beside you. Your heart is racing like somebody's got you hooked up to a machine, and you're like, God, I'm not sure if that's you. Is it you? Is it not you? Is it you? Is it not you? And you're like, does your heart often nearly explode when holding cucumbers as your hands are sweating when you look at somebody and you want to do something good? Now, if that happens to you regularly, that's, you know, wow, not me. But here's the thing. If I wait for some sort of strange change of the atmosphere before God does something, I'll live most of my life relegated to a time and a period where God is just completely disinterested. As if God looks at your life with a highlighter and he goes, I'm going to highlight this day, this day, this day, this day, everything else you're on your own. As if it's like, you know, just go out there in your own power and your own strength, give it a good run for your money, and we'll see what happens, and hopefully the church will continue to grow. I'm here to tell you this morning that you don't have to wait for specific moments. Acts chapter 17 says, in him you live and move and have your being. So you cannot be any more in the presence of God than you are right now. And the separation is not because of Satan's spiritual attack against you. It's because we have yet to believe who we are and what this word says to us. And I'm sorry for taking away your excuses, but you have more in you than you know. There's more in you. I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ is not just another social agent that just does good things, comforts people through life as we wait until Christ returns. The Church of Jesus Christ is his body and his representatives on the earth today. Jesus says it like this, it's good that I go. He tells the disciples, I hate that passage. I don't know about you, but I hate that passage because it convicts me so much. I say I hate that passage, don't get nervous. Did he hate the Bible? No, I didn't say I hate the Bible. What that passage does to me, it convicts me so much because Jesus looks at his disciples and goes, hey guys, I'm leaving and it's good that I go. I don't know about you, but after 3.5 years of having God incarnate with me and he looks at me and says, I'm leaving you, I'd be like, no. And it's good that I go. I'm like, Jesus, you don't know what you're talking about. Am I the only one that's ever looked at that passage and thought Jesus is a little confused there? I'm the only one. Okay, that's all right. I'm feeling a little lonely already. Don't worry about it. That's okay. Bills are losing. I'm kidding. When Jesus says it's good that I go, what does he mean? Either we know something Jesus doesn't know, which is a little sketchy ground to walk on, or he knows something that maybe we don't know, which is probably the answer we all know is true. Jesus says, why? Because unless I go, I can't send the Spirit to you. So there's something about Christians that understand the presence of the Holy Spirit, that if we grasp that, if we grasp the presence of the Holy Spirit, that is worth more in Jesus' mind than him being on the earth in the flesh. That's what it says. Now how? Because when Christ was on the earth, his presence, at least in a body form, was limited to one person. Now, think about this room. If every single person in this room understood who they were in Christ, understood the presence and power of God that resided inside of them, now it's not just one Jesus walking around. Now it's Christians, which is a little Christ. It's not that we're messiahs. It's that we possess the power of the Messiah within us. Not that I've got to wait for him to come on me. I have to realize that he's always inside of me. He never leaves and he never forsakes. And in Acts chapter 3, because you hear a message like this, and I want to encourage you, whether you believe this or not, there is more inside of you than you know, and I promise you. The power to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, to set people free from oppression and bondage, addiction is inside of you right now. Not after you go through 10 million things. It's already in you. And in Acts chapter 3, Peter and John are just walking to the temple. And as they're walking to the temple, they see this guy who is a cripple, and he's at the temple gate, and he looks at Peter and he says, what? Can I have some money? Isn't this wild? That if we're honest, that's kind of, and for the vast majority of people, that's the number one thing. That if we had more money, we would do more. If I just had a little bit more money, and what does Peter say? Silver and gold I don't have, but what I have, I give to you. Well, what does he have? The Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus Christ, get up and walk. And this guy, he takes by his hands and he strengthens leaping and dancing and comes into the temple, which is this beautiful picture if we catch the purpose of the church and what God is trying to do. We don't have to just try to get people and just fill up a building. We go to them, we minister to them, and then we bring them with us. It's not the platform or the pastor's job to win the world for Christ. It's every single one of us. And then this riot breaks out, and they look at Peter and John, and they say, what? Peter and John, this is crazy. And Peter says, why do you stare at us as if you think by our own power or godliness we made this man walk? This happened so that God could be glorified. They're pulled in front of the spiritual leaders. They're interrogated in that moment. And the scripture says that when they looked at Peter and John, they saw that they were uneducated and ordinary men. But what? They'd been with Jesus. So my question for you, just for a moment, don't get nervous with me, but what are you staring at that if you had more of, then you think God would use you? Because Peter just wipes out all the excuses. Don't stare at us as if it was by our own power. Well, I'd be like, well, I don't know how many times I've prayed for more power from God. Am I the only person here? I actually am the only person who's ever prayed for that. Wow, okay, that's good. No, that's good. All right. Wrong message. All right. He says, don't stare at us as if it's by our own godliness. I don't know about you, but I've beat myself up so many times over of thinking that if I could just be a little bit more spiritual, a little bit more holy, then God would do something in my life. Am I the only one for that one as well? Okay, there's three or four of us, a couple of people shaking heads, and somebody's got a stone in the back ready to throw. That's good. Then he looks and says that they're uneducated and ordinary men. I don't know about you, but I've had so much time in my life where I'm thinking if I just knew a little bit more, then I would be able to do it. Like, I don't want to talk to somebody about Jesus because I don't know. What if they ask me a question I don't know? Now, if somebody sticks out because they're uneducated, you have to really stick out to be uneducated. Just being honest. You need to really stick out because most of us in a general sense all look uneducated. That was kind of a joke. Okay. I'm sorry. I said all of us, and myself included. And finally, they say that they're ordinary people. Here we are busy trying to become extraordinary. When the thing that distinguishes us is not our power, it's not our godliness, it's not our education, it's not that we're extraordinary, it's the Holy Spirit. That's it. And if you and I can yield to Him, as the Apostle Peter in his last epistle, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, says what? That He has given me all things pertaining to life and godliness. I love that, all things. That takes away so many excuses that I wish I could have. All things pertaining to life and godliness. And then what does He include in the all things? Why? Because you and I, not just special people, not a certain segment of the population that ascended some spiritual mountain after 40 years of prayer and fasting, and they're shriveled down into a little toothpick, and we go, wow, now God can use you. No, we all have become partakers of His divine nature. That every single one of us are included in this thing if we will simply trust and believe. But in Acts chapter 5, the passage I opened with, it says that they did it among the apostles and the others didn't dare join them. I believe that this is where the church is in this moment. We've got little outpourings of the presence of the Holy Spirit, but so much of it is, well, I don't know if I want to dare join in. I don't know if I'm going to lose a little bit of comfortability of saying something to somebody I don't know or praying for somebody and what if they're not healed. You know, somebody told me something and it changed my life. They said, Jared, your job is just to pray. His job is to heal. Now, that doesn't sound that profound, but it is. And if you get all nervous when they don't get healed, you're going to take way too much credit when they do get healed. So my job is not to try to figure out healing, it's to respond and pray. But if I don't pray, the scripture often leads us to believe that He responds to prayer and healing. Now, if you want to be the exception to the rule, and I say this to people as an encouragement, everyone's like, well, if God wants me, He knows where I live, He knows my spiritual, you know, He knows my address, He can send me a postcard or something. He can write on the wall. Listen, God, as far as we know, has written on one wall one time in the book of Daniel. Now, if you want to wait another 3,000 years, and if you're that guy, praise God. But I'd rather step out in obedience rather than wait for Him to do and be the exception to the rule. Because God can do whatever He wants, but He promises to respond to prayer. God is sovereign in all He does and welcome to do whatever He wants, but He promises to meet us in prayer. There's more in you than you know. I want to share one last story, and then we're going to shift gears here. And we'll Just ask the Holy Spirit to do what he wants as he leads us, if that's okay this morning. Amen. In case you haven't thought I'm weird yet, let me just throw out one last thing to really convince you, if that's okay. All right, a couple of us are like, oh, you already got me. You got me at the beginning. Don't worry. Let me try one last push just to push it over to the edge and really let you know. I was spending some time in prayer, and I was taken into a vision. Taken into it. The Bible talks about it. I was taken into this vision, and I'm being walked with an angel. This angel's walking with me into a large library-like room. And on the library shelves are all these little flasks of oil. And I notice that they've got like labels underneath them, actually, of just different men and women of God that I'm aware of that have done things, and other people, I couldn't read their names. And the angel looks to me and says, pick three. Well, right there, I have to be honest with you, I totally thought it was demonic. I was like, get behind me, Satan. What does that even mean? Pick three. So I grabbed these three little bottles of oil, which I knew represented the anointing on their lives. And I thought in that moment, I'm not talking about a pride or an arrogance, but have you ever been so confident, like you're like, I got this? You go into a job interview and you're like, it's good. You're going to ask somebody out on a date, and there's not a pride, but a confidence of like, this is going to be good. No one's ever had that confidence asking anybody out on a date. Okay, that's a bummer. It's amazing that we're all together here. That was just a random collection of people. You, come. No, I'm kidding. And there's this confidence I had in holding these. And next thing you know, I look over to the angel, like, what am I supposed to do with them? The angel's gone. And I see this flask of oil about this big pouring out like living color that's not, it won't stop. It's just flowing out. And the Holy Spirit said this to me, everything you're looking for in people is found in me. There's more in you than you know. My message to you this morning is don't be captivated by what you don't have on some sort of shelf. As if you peer back into the scripture and see, well, that was just for Peter, had some special gift and anointing. Anything that anyone has ever done on this earth in the name of Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit, that same Spirit is at work within you. And I promise you, if we get our distraction away from what we don't have and begin to walk in the fullness of what God has placed inside of us, we will transform the world. There's something inside of you, and it's got the power to change the world. Would you lift your hands with me for just a moment? This is, you know, why do we do this? It might seem like a strange thing. No, the Bible tells us when we pray, we lift up holy hands. Holy hands. Father, right now I pray that you take away every excuse. Every excuse, that you shatter it. Where the enemy has come and sown lies of discord and confusion, in the name of Jesus, we speak truth to that lie. I decree over you today, you are more than a conqueror through Christ. Come on, grab onto that right now. If you got a situation in your life, declare that right now. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. You are more than a conqueror through Christ. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to invite up Pastor just for a moment, and then I'm going to transition. We've got a few minutes left. I understand we want to rescue our kids workers. My wife's a children's pastor, so I know what that looks like. But we want to shift gears in a moment towards some prophetic ministry, some healing ministry as the Lord leads. If the worship team could also come now, that would be wonderful. Pastor, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jared. Well, we want to be able to take up an offering for Jared and his ministry at this time, and then be able to transition into some ministry time so that we don't interrupt that later. So I'll ask the ushers to get prepared, And we want to be able to be a blessing to this man whose God is using, and as he works in his local church and continues to travel to be a blessing to other churches, we want to be a blessing to him. And so if you are writing out checks, you can make it out to Niagara Worship Center, and we will collect it all and forward it all to him as one blessing for him. So the ushers can go ahead and come forward as you're ready there, and let me just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your hand upon each and every one of us as your children. And I thank you for the ministry that you have all called us to. You have called us to a ministry of reconciliation. You have called us to be your hands and feet here on the earth. And Lord, in this moment, we thank you for giving us seed to sow. We thank you, Lord, that as we sow seed into fertile ground, it will produce a harvest, an effective, fruitful harvest for everyone involved. Lord, we thank you for the seed that you have given us. And as we sow it, we thank you for a great fruitfulness in ministry. We bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
There is a fountain that drowns sorrows. There is an ocean deeper than fear. The tide is rising, rising. There is a current stirring deep inside. It's overflowing from the heart of God. The flood of heaven rushing over us. The tide is rising.
The great thing about being a new covenant Christian is you get the benefit of both. You have on the inside and the outside. Amen. If you can maybe just play some keys in a minute, that would be great whenever you're ready. Well, it's wonderful to be here. I hope that encourages you. I really do. But I want to say this, you know, we don't change because we add more information to our lives. We tend to think you and I are rational beings, but we're actually not rational. We rationalize. We're not rational. So, and this isn't condemning, but it's just the reality is that when a person smokes cigarettes, they can have the Surgeon General can have a label on it that says this is bad for your health, and you continue to do it. It's because we don't change because of knowledge. See, we also don't change because of the law. And I know you know this. See, when you're driving, you drive one way, and the moment a cop comes behind you, what do? 10, you never drive at 10 and 2. You just don't. You know you don't. Right when they come, you don't even have that good of back posture until a cop comes by, and you're like. Because we don't, watch this, the law does not have the ability to change you. Knowledge doesn't have the ability to change you, but a new love does. See, there's something about a person that goes to the doctor and the doctor says, if you don't give up this way of life, whatever that is, you're going to die. And the person can't stop for 20 years. And then a new grandbaby comes into the picture and what happens? Love is the only thing that has the power to change something. Not the law, not law, knowledge, not even fear. You know, I don't know how it is in Canada, but in the States, the vast majority of prisoners, within 5 years of release, it's almost 70% will be incarcerated again. They've already been punished. See, this morning, I'm not trying to just give another knowledge thing. That's good. We've got the knowledge is just something that we hang our beliefs on, but it's not our belief. I know a lot of things I don't believe. This morning, I want to ask that we would just make a few moments, and Pastor Tim will come in a little bit as we need to dismiss our children this morning. We want to be sensitive to that. Listen, I'm not going to be distracted if you bring your kids back in here. And as long as they're not screaming, you know it. Well, if you don't know what that is, the person beside you will help you. But bring them back in. That's okay, unless that's violating some sort of thing here. We just want to be able to be sensitive to that. But I don't want to just try to give knowledge and go, oh, it was good. He said I could change the world. Well, no, that now that just calluses you. We need to encounter the Holy Spirit. We need to make room for that. We need to invite him into this place, into our hearts and our lives. And just take a few moments right now and just say, Lord, I want to meet with you. You already clocked in for church. If you want to leave now, you did your duty, but let's meet with him. So Holy Spirit, just in your own way, let's open our hearts. Father, we're asking for an encounter with you. Here we are talking about you, but we don't want to talk about you like you're not here. You're actually here. So we open our minds and our eyes and our ears to perceive you. And we're asking now just for the gifts of the Holy Spirit to come, gifts of healing and the word of knowledge, miracles, prophecy. Lord, whatever you want to do, we just welcome you into this place. Welcome you here, Lord. Let's just begin to sing a song to the Lord from your own heart. Can we do that? You don't need words, just begin to express. Oh, we love you, Lord. You are welcome in this place. You are welcome in this place. Oh. Sometimes the Lord gives us just little bits of information on what to pray for. We want to pray for things that we don't have a word of knowledge for, but I want to pray for someone here that you were in some, I believe it was a car accident, and there's a problem on the right side of your neck and running down into the right arm. Is there anybody here that would have that here this morning? You were in some sort of accident, and a problem in your neck and into your arm. So you just get my attention. Would you come forward if you can? If it's more than one, I want to pray for that, but you're in some sort of accident and it's just there. Thank you, Lord. If there's anybody else, listen, I'll just say this. I'm not here to push anybody over. I don't do that, so don't be nervous. We're inviting the Holy Spirit, so this is not a show. We just believe that he's here. Amen. Okay, there's a few of us then. Praise the Lord. Do one of you specifically, is it located in the elbow, or is it just there? Okay. So, I'm just saying specifically, the moment you guys came for it, I just had a sense of an elbow come in a stronger way. Praise God. Okay. I want to pray. We'll just, as I just say things, just feel free to come forward and we'll just invite the Lord. I want to pray for I'm drawn to this section, so that's why I'm looking there. A problem in the lower back into the sciatica nerve, and I'm drawn to that section particularly. Is that anybody? Okay, you can come forward if there's anyone else back there as well. Come forward. Thank you, Lord. a ringing of the ears, and I know, but I don't just think it's ringing. I'm hearing two things, ringing of the ear and Meniere's disease. Does anybody here have Meniere's disease in their ear and a ringing of the ear? If that's you, just wave at me. Meniere's disease and a ringing of the ear. Is that anyone here? Just grab my attention if you can. Is that you? You have the ring, you're not sure about. Anybody have Meniere's disease? Well, come forward with the ringing ear. We'll pray for that as well. I'm hearing both of those together, though, like they're one thing. Oh, thank you, Lord. Amen. Listen, this is just a highlight of the Lord maybe doing some things we want to do. I'm drawn to this section here, and like a heart palpitations, like your heart is an irregular heartbeat into this section. I'm drawn into that section. Is that anyone there? Your heart has an irregular heartbeat. It may not even be diagnosed. Okay, we'll pray there. Amen. I'm drawn to this section as well with that. Is that anyone specifically? Just want to encourage you to respond. We want to do that. Amen. Okay. Thank you, Lord. I want to pray for tumors and cysts, just in general. Tumors and cysts. If that's you, would you just step out of your seat? Tumors and cysts. Anybody have a tumor or a cyst? Thank you, Lord. I don't know how to describe what I'm sensing, but it's like into the right eye. This sounds strange, and I'm not an eye doctor by any means, but something that's almost like pulling away from the eye itself. I don't mean your eye's being pulled out, but something on the front of your eye is being pulled on, something like that. Is that anybody here? Something that's being pulled. I want to pray for that this morning. Just grab my attention as you come, if that's you. Is that anyone? Just grab, just so I know, wave a hand at me. Is that you, something? We got a lot of people, so just wave at me when you're coming, just so I know what's what. Okay. Amen. Well, I know there's a lot more people that are sick out there or have something in your body than that are up here, not just for what I call, but just other things. How many other people back there, you just say, I've got stuff going on in my body, I need a touch from the Lord. Okay. This could get fun here in a second. I genuinely mean that. I love when heaven just comes. This is what I want you to do. One brief instruction. We're not going to strive. This is a no striving zone. We're not allowed to pretend he's not here, okay? That's kind of the one rule we have. We already know he's here, so let's not pretend he's not. Number two, he's a good God, and he ministers to us. And some of you right now are going to begin to feel the presence of God heal you instantaneously. Others of you are going to begin to feel a noticeable progression. Don't stop and say, oh, it's halfway there, as if God is baiting. Others might not feel anything. That's okay. We're not here to force. We're here to pray. But the other thing is, you do not have the right to say, today is not my day to get healed. How do you know? How do I know? None of us know. But I can promise you, you don't know that you don't know. Right? Can we agree on those three things? We can't pretend he's not here. God is good, and we're going to let him be God. And number three, we don't know what we don't know. If you're needing healing, just lift your hand one more time again. If you don't need a healing in your body, just lay a hand on somebody next to you. But I'm going to pray over you right now, and then we're going to see if something changes. Just lift your hands to the Lord if you can physically. Father, in Jesus' name, in the perfect Son of God, I speak healing into your body. Gifts of healing flow into this congregation right now. I speak to tumors and cysts go. I speak to problems of the back, of the neck, into the sciatic nerve, and the hips, in the joints, in the arms, the elbows. I speak right now to the eye, whatever that thing was, into the nasal cavity, into lungs. I speak to cancer and lupus and chronic fatigue syndrome. I speak right now, Lord, to Lyme disease and to Crohn's disease. In Jesus' name, we loose you, Holy Spirit, to have your way. We say, be free in this time. Just take a moment right now and receive. We wait upon you, Lord. We wait upon you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Gifts of healing right now. Free the locked shoulder in TMJ. Discs come into alignment in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If I can have your attention, I just want you to see right now if something changed. Go ahead and move if you can move. Just go ahead and move right now and see if something just changed. If you say, right when we prayed, something changed, wave one hand at me and you're saying, something's happening as we're praying. You say, something's happening. In the back, if you say, when we prayed, something's happening. We've got some hands. Thank you, Lord. If you say, all of the pain is gone, would you wave two hands at me? We're not done praying yet. If you say, all the pain's gone, wave two hands at me and say, I can't find it. Don't be ashamed to testify. We're family here. Just wave two hands. You say, it's all gone, all gone. All gone? Praise God. Anyone else? You're saying it's all gone. Awesome. 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 Well, I'm going to say this very quickly. We're not done praying. It's 11:30, about that time. If you need to grab your children, please grab your children. Even if you're up here, come back. We're not going to be done, but we want to be sensitive to that. Grab your children, and there's no better place than to bring them into a time where the Holy Spirit's moving. It's so good for kids to be able to see God at work. Amen. So if you have children, if that's okay, Pastor, I don't know if we need to say anything else. Just grab them. If you have to leave, we understand. Thank you. But if you don't, we're not done. Amen. All right. If you still need healing in your body, let me see again. We're praying for healing. Lift your hand again, just so we see. Come on, he's here. All right, let's pray. Holy Spirit, come. Woo. We welcome you right now. Gifts of healing into this body. Oh, I sing healing over you. Healing over you. In Jesus' name. Tumors go. Cysts go. Degenerative disc disease. We command disease to go and the fullness of health back into your body. In Jesus' name. I want you to check your body again. Go ahead. Go ahead and see if something just changed. Don't be afraid. You don't have to lie to yourself or to me. Just be real. If it's healed, if you say something just changed again when we prayed, wave a hand at me just so I see. You say something's changing. Wave in the back. I see. Just wave so I can see. If you say all of the pain is gone, wave two hands at me. Say I can't find it. Praise God. Praise God. I want to just do one brief thing if I can. I don't know if we have a microphone. I want to hear if we can, if anyone that's been healed just can share what happened and then we'll pray again. Thank you, Lord. Is anyone able to share? You raise your hand. I'm not going to point you out, but we've had a handful of people say it's gone. If you just take a quick second and say what it was. Praise God.
So I injured my left elbow at work. A few weeks ago, about a month or so, and it's been really sore and not going away, persistent. And even just this morning, every morning that I wake up, it's really sore. And I'm trying to find the pain now. It's like slight, but I would say that it's like 98% gone.
Stretch your hands out towards him real quick. Let's pray. Come on, 98. How many people know that God does all 100? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, thank you for the honesty of 98%. We just love that. Lord, we love that you're not a microwave. We love that you're a person. And we just invite you now to just come into this 2%. Holy Ghost, come. Woo. Amen. I love that. Try to find the pain. Amen. Somebody else that you say, I'm fully healed. Fully healed. Just come forward and just, yeah, go ahead.
I fell in the summer, and I didn't realize it, but I had a torn rotator cuff.
Okay.
And so I've been struggling with that. And as you were praying, I just felt my arm moving back into a comfortable position.
When's the last time it's felt this good?
I don't know.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Come on.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
That's good. Someone else, if anyone else is, anyone else that's waved and said it's all gone. Yeah, we got two over here if we can. Come on, this is fun when the Spirit comes. Isn't it good? I love this. What happened?
Hey, man. I haven't been diagnosed with a tennis elbow, but I think that's what I've been having. Doctor's been treating me, but it's gone.
It's gone. How long have you had that for?
I've had it now for at least a year. And my eyes, I've had, I can't even remember for sure, but I've had 16 at least surgeries on my eyes.
On your eyes?
On my eyes. I've had cornea transplants. I've had laser.
Mm.
Doctors have said they could do nothing for me anymore.
Mm.
But God has healed me today.
God's healed your eyes as well? What's going on with the eyes? I'm just curious, where are the eyes right now? About the same, different? You've sensed something happening?
Yes, I can see your features. I couldn't see
you
your features.
You couldn't do that before. Wow.
I would say the doctor would say I was legally blind. I was, my niece is here with me today.
Come on, so and something's coming back.
We were playing a game of Yahtzee last night, and I could hardly see. They had to get a magnifying glass for me.
Praise
but
God.
Jesus has healed me. It's gradual.
Yeah.
But
different, though.
Something's different. Yes.
Come on.
Amen.
I told you at the beginning that when God, listen, He's not a microwave, He's a person.
Yes.
You know, and right, who knows in the invisible realm what's happening right now if the Lord's just touching Him. We're going to pray for you again. Praise God. What's happening here? Yeah.
Okay. Well, I've been dealing with a back issue over this last year, and it actually was so severe at times that I took some time off work. And the thing that was bothering me the most about the whole thing, I guess, was that I couldn't raise my grandchildren. I couldn't lift them and hold them the way I wanted to, and I was refusing to let that get in my way. So I took the time off work. And it has been healing, and it's been getting better and better, but there are those times where it comes, and it's was still there, and it was giving me a problem again yesterday, and I'm like, no, Lord, this is going to be totally healed. This is my healing from you, and I'm not accepting anything less than that, and I just praise the Lord. The pain is gone, and I don't expect it to be a problem.
Come on.
I can raise all those beautiful grandsons.
Come on.
Lift them, not raise them. And praise the Lord.
Awesome. Just right now, if you've been fully healed, you just two hands, you say all of it's gone or there's something really significant, is that something happened over there?
I started praying for healing. Like, I was, well, my whole life I've had a lot of neurological disorders, and including Tourette's, OCD, and auditory processing and other things, right? And about 3 years ago, when I was about, or 4 years ago, I was about 26, I started praying for healing, and slowly over the last 4 years, He's been slowly healing me, and I'm not fully healed yet, but I'm hoping, like at this rate, I'm hoping in the next 2 years I'll be fully healing and healed. And I've been praying, and little by little He's been healing me, and I know that in His timing, He'll do what He needs to do. And
amen. Yeah, and we're going to continue to pray. That's good. All right, I want to just say this, and we're not going to extend this for endlessly for no purpose, but I want to just show you something. When we give testimonies, it builds faith. The other thing, though, is if we're not careful, we lose focus that He's here. He doesn't leave. Let's just draw our focus back again, and we're going to pray again. And how many people you've said, something's happening right now? Amen. Some of you might say, I really need a healing and nothing's happening right now. Raise your hand. Nothing's happening. It's okay. All right? He's here. Let's lift our hands. Just draw our focus and our worship back to Him. Come on, He's a person. He's not a microwave. He's not a machine. He's a person. So Lord, we thank You for these testimonies of what You've accomplished. And we speak right now worship and adoration and affection. And thank You that You're a person. And I speak healing into these bodies, healing into minds, into neurological issues, Lord. Problems of the jaw and of the back and of the hips. And Lord, psychological, Lord, bipolar and depression and so many things. We just invite your light into that and to restore and to bring healing. And we welcome your presence here this morning in Jesus' name. We welcome your presence here in Jesus' name. We welcome you, Holy Spirit. Free to move, Lord. You're free to move. You're free to move, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're free to move. We worship him. Just draw your affection towards him. We worship you. Oh, Holy Spirit. You are welcome here. You are welcome here. We worship you, Lord. Bring healing in Jesus' name. Just in this atmosphere right now with our focus, just see if something changed again. If you've got a feel for the cyst or the tumor, see if something's just changed again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're praying and you say something just changed, would you wave at me and say, something's happening right there. Amen. A hand in the back. Praise God. Come on. Hand right there. Come on. You say, I've sensed something taking place. Praise God. This is what I want to do. I want to just speak a word on my heart, just kind of decree something over the church today for you to test and discern. And then if you would like personal prayer and ministry, we've got a prayer team. And if the Lord started to do something in you, just hang around for a few minutes. Don't count yourself out. If you feel like nothing's happened yet, just stick around for a little bit. We want to pray. But I want to just decree this over the church and just as a word for the house to discern. I sense like the Holy Spirit is modeling in a microcosm here of what this church is stepping into. The two services is a leap of faith for you in multiplying your efforts. And I feel like the Holy Spirit says this is a microcosm and even a test and a time of, and I say trial, not a negative, but a time of testing and trial for the expanse that the Lord will bring about in this house, in this ministry. I believe that the Holy Spirit is showing me like an expanse, like a network of places that'll tie to you. And I just say that the Holy Spirit is calling teamwork into a new level and a new capacity. The word teamwork into a new level and new capacity. The Holy Spirit says that the word teamwork, I sense him say teamwork, is almost going to become laborsome of hearing it so often because you're going to build teams for this and teams for that and teams for this and teams for that. But I feel like the Holy Spirit is saying that this next step is but a microcosm of what the Lord would bring you into. And I decree this, that God would send you up along the lake, that the Lord would send teams up along the lake. And I speak into the future, that the Lord would make this house a house not of individuals, but of team and of family and of expanse. And I speak into this house an increase that goes beyond two services and beyond walls. Beyond walls. And I just see the hook of the lake there, that the Lord would create teams and God would give wisdom and plans, and this would be but a microcosm and a test and a trial of where the Lord will expand you to. I speak into this house, into the fabric of this church this morning, a passion for discipleship and evangelism. And I speak church planting to come from this house. And I say that the Holy Spirit, it's like I see the Lord saying, I'm establishing in this house a place of teams and family, of teams and family. And I see it's like you're going to, as this infrastructure is created, there will be people and organizations that seek you out and seek out this church that say, how can we bring the wind behind you to expand? And I feel like the Holy Spirit says that even as you sow, you'll reap. And I just decree this over you, that as you step, that this second service is but a natural sign of something far bigger that the Lord brings you and this body into. I speak teams, a team into this, a team and an increase. So Father, I pray that this word, as it's tested and discerned, and as it's weighed carefully, I pray that your grace in the parts of it that are you would become so real and so apparent and so tangible that they cannot be ignored. And I speak favor, and this is Pastor Tim, I just feel like the Holy Spirit just gave me one last thing. I feel like the Holy Spirit says that the Lord has marked you. And I sense that the Holy Spirit is telling me like two paths, and it's not that they're bad, but I feel like the Holy Spirit says, I have marked you, and I've marked you with opportunity. And you will be tabbed by denominational figures, and you'll be tabbed by networks and things to ask to do. You're going to be tabbed by them. They're going to be like, we need you. And I feel like the Holy Spirit says, I'm giving you discernment on which ways to run, because what's about, when I say about to happen, I'm not talking about 10 years, 5 years, 20 years. I'm saying what's happening in the present tense is the Holy Spirit is coming on you. And I feel like the Holy Spirit is just saying, even I'll just leave that in your discernment of what caution and what thing to accelerate of what it is. Caution and accelerate into that. Because I feel like there's opportunities. The Holy Spirit says that I'll even move you forward into a regional role. The Holy Spirit says I'm shifting things even in this radius of the way that things are organized. And I'm going to shift you into like a regional role of influence. But I feel like the Holy Spirit says that I'm going to give you dove eyes, eyes of focus, of single-mindedness onto the mission and the expansion of His church. So Father, I thank you that as you rearrange things in this region, I see shifts taking place. And Lord, I thank you for dove eyes to be able to be single-focused and not feeling as if you're distracted. I just decree this over you this morning, that His grace is enough, and that the Lord increases your territory, and that the Lord increases your influence, because there's influence that needs to be had. And I just speak into this house a fresh move of the Holy Spirit and a fresh power of the gospel, a declaration of the good news. Lord, I thank you for strategy that comes into this house of home groups and cell groups that begin to expand. Oh, that expand. And I speak a strength into this house of being able to administrate the move of your activity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, here's what I want us to do now. If you want to just stay and be in the presence of God as we just continue to worship, I ask that you do so, but in your seats, so that we can make room up here, so that if you want to be prayed for, you come forward right now. And our prayer team, come on up. You know who you are. Ushers are going to be up here helping as well. But let's clear this space here. You're welcome to continue to worship. We're not closing things down, but every time I began to pray over this morning, I couldn't shake the feeling that there was somebody who was going to be here who felt like God saw everybody in the room but you. And I don't know if maybe that's someone who was waving their hand saying, I haven't felt any healing, there's been no progress, but that there's going to be somebody here who thinks that it's almost like God, like you're in their blind spot, like you're in God's blind spot and He can't see you, and you need to know He sees you. And He wants to heal you. He wants to speak to you. And so we just invite you, come. Let's fill up this front here if you'd like to be prayed for. And our prayer teams will be here with you. Let's see what God does. Amen? And if you need to know, go. God bless you.